Chapter 81. Rage. The vulgar, jeering crowd clogged every avenue of Echo Hold, the Elder Fair overwhelmed by the sheer number of spectators hoping for a glimpse of the first Mother of Rugoth being dragged to her death. Jen and Cadean muscled their way forward. The late afternoon sunshine beat down like a hammer on the uplifted, rocky forge of Echo Hold. The sweat and humid stench of the mob was nauseating, but no inconvenience could slow or deter the two from their purpose. They shoved and elbowed citizens and soldiers alike without reservation.
"Once we get to the next intersection, we must bear left,"
Cadean shouted over the crowd, his stern, determined face more than enough to convince most people to clear out of his way.
"She is moving!"
During their two-day journey toward the mountain stronghold, Cadean had felt Mirel weakening from the lack of nourishment. After he and Jen had entered the city that afternoon, Cadean gritted his teeth and reported that she had endured a whipping, and that her bonds had rubbed her wrists and ankles into festering wounds. Jen felt his ire rising, and only the Shadan's training kept him under control. In the back of his mind, he knew that as soon as he saw Mirel bruised and beaten, there would be no damming up the fiery indignation he could feel beginning to burn in his heart. Cadean's steadily reddening face let Jen know that the same fire consumed him as well. Cadean stopped short.
"They are dragging her!"
A shout erupted at the intersection in their view, and the people surged forward. A cavalry unit of Elder Fair trotted by, escorting a padre, the blue pendants adorning their lances streaming behind them. A mighty black warhorse, ridden by the executioner, slashed through their view, rope tied to its pommel, a rope Jen knew was tied to Mirel's wrists. Another cavalry unit followed, the people surging into the street after it. Cadean froze for a moment in horror, and Jen used Triss magic to create a simple sword in Cadean's hand.
"Here," Jen said, "follow me."
Cadean expressed no surprise at Jen's sudden production of a weapon, and they turned right into an alleyway running parallel to the street along which the cruel procession travelled. Some spectators ran with them, hoping to catch up with the spectacle. Others plodded along, but the time for shoves and polite elbows had ended. Jen and Cadean simply blasted anyone in their way onto the ground or into the wall. Cadean let out a ferocious yell, brandishing his sword, and people dove out of their way. The alley ended its parallel track and forced them back toward the main street, the mob thick as it pulsed forward at a jog. Cadean yelled for people to move as he sprinted behind Jen, and at the corner of the street they met their first resistance in the form of three Elder Fair who had been alerted to the inexorable sprint of two madmen, one armed. The soldiers pulled their weapons and hefted their circular shields as Cadean and Jen approached. They didn't slow. Using Triss magic, Jen undid cracks of metal along the swords where the blades met the hilts, and as the Elder Fair pulled them back to strike, the blades simply fell to the ground useless. Jen unleashed a hard shove to one as he pushed by, Cadean decapitating another as the two of them tried to work their way into the main flow that was chasing the suffering first mother. The Elder Fair raised a shout and tried to chase them, putting their shields to good use to push the intervening onlookers out of the way. Jen scanned ahead. The horse units and the executioner had reached farther than he had hoped, disappearing around a corner as the procession pushed toward the town square. The sheer number of people would make it impossible for even a tenth of them to witness the burning personally. Behind them, the Elder Fair pressed toward them. Ahead, the dense crowd compressed into an impenetrable shield to bar their way. The more they pushed toward the square, the more trapped they became. Cadean roared, using his sword to encourage people to move, slicing anyone who thought to impede them. The pursuing Elder Fair continued to scream and yell, and along the edges of the crowd their fellow soldiers left their posts along the route and pressed into the crowd in an attempt to reach them. Jen formed a sword in his hand, creating an edge so sharp that when he turned and hacked at the Elder Fair behind him, the blade passed through the shield as if it were nothing more than paper. The soldier fell in a splash of blood, the sudden violence pulling the people behind to a halt, only to be bowled over by the Elder Fair coming up from behind. Cadean ran another soldier through, and he collapsed in a heap to be trodden on by those trying to escape the bloodshed. Jen turned to try to keep moving forward, but the soldiers thickened as the hopeful spectators thinned, realizing that a fight was in the offing. As Jen and Cadean reached the rear boundary of the crowd wall outside the square, they found themselves surrounded by nearly 20 soldiers, the spectators forming a ring around them, bets changing hands. Shield at the ready, one of the Elder Fair stepped forward.
"Drop your weapons!"
And Jen hacked him down, his blade thrusting through the shield with ease and puncturing the soldier's heart. "We don't have time for this," Jen thought as a shout erupted from the square behind them. But the Elderfair rushed and forced his concentration back to his own survival. The initial five soldiers came at them cautiously. But after Cadean and Jen hacked them down with speed and skill they had never seen, the rest backed off a space to reconsider. The bets began in earnest. Cadean came to Jen's side.
"I only have seen three men fight like you do."
Merel's agonized scream from the square and Cadean's petrified countenance made his next words unnecessary.
"She burns!"
The Elderfair appeared ready to rush again, and the crowd near the square began to chant, "Burn! Burn! Burn!"
"Go, my brother!"
Cadean said, a tear running down his cheek.
"If you have the power to stop this, then do it!"
Jen nodded and turned, and within his heart an agony and a rage built to a crescendo that all his control and all his training could not stop. Between him and the square was a wall of people 30 feet thick, and pulling in the power of Duam, he yelled the ancient words of the incantation with all the anger he possessed.
"Shui-shay!"
A mighty gale of wind blasted into the crowd like an unseen battering ram and threw bodies up and away to slam into buildings and to fall into and crush the crowd. Jen sped down the newly cleared avenue as screams tore the air. He could see her now. Mirel was tied to a pole above a burning pile of wood, the flames reddening and peeling her legs and setting her dress on fire. She screamed and wept in pain, red face soaked with tears. The executioner and the padre stood nearby, and Jen killed them both with a thought, undoing veins in their heads. They slumped lifeless from the platform, the executioner falling into his own fire and throwing up sparks. The Elderfair crowded into the gap that he had created, but with a Duam-powered leap, he sailed over them, landing 20 feet from Mirel. Jen's fury burned white hot, and without remorse, he unleashed his next assault.
"Farua Kael!"
The fiery pile of wood underneath Mirel exploded outward from the center, the wood whistling through the air with deadly, burning velocity. The heavy logs ploughed avenues of death through the terrified Elderfair. They continued on to level the forward ranks of the bloodthirsty crowd. The burning branches and sticks punctured unprotected bodies and knocked even more revelers to the ground. In terror, the crowd reversed course and ran in the opposite direction. Not a single twig remained beneath the charred first mother, who hung unconscious from the abandoned pole. Jen rushed to her, using Triss magic to free her hands and feet of her bonds. Limp, she fell into his arms, face blackened and legs charred. He had little of Duam magic left to avail him, and he spent the last of its strength to heal her lungs and to alleviate the damage of her legs. Even so, he could not tell if she would live, so bad was the damage. Tears welled up in his eyes as he carried her beaten, burned body away from the square. He needed to see if Cadean yet lived. A group of Elderfair approached from the other side of the square, crossbowmen coming to the front. Jen killed them with Triss magic before they could even raise their weapons. The determination of the rest failed them and they backed away. All before him fled as he ran back down the avenue. He found Cadean lying in the street amid a pile of dead Elderfair, blood running freely from many wounds. Jen had nothing left with which to heal him. Cadean reached up and stroked Mirel's hair, his eyes heavy with approaching death.
"She is yours now, Jen," he said. "Help her live. I am done."
The old protector closed his eyes, and his breath left him. With difficulty, Jen fought down his emotions. They had to survive, and to survive they had to evade a city teeming with enemies. He ducked down an alley and made a series of confusing turns before finding an old crumbling building carved from the stone. He darted up a flight of treacherous stairs. The edifice was abandoned, and he ducked through a doorless entryway and used Triss magic to create a slab of stone that would make it appear to the passerby that there was just a wall. A single window on the opposite wall he covered with shutters, and with the rest of the Triss magic he possessed, he created the herbs and water he would need to treat Mirel's damaged body until his Duam magic recovered enough to heal her completely. Only Min magic was available to him now, and as he began his mundane ministrations, he hoped for several hours of peace. Getting out of the city would be impossible until Mirel was healed, and it would prove difficult even then. Shutting away the commotion outside the window, he bathed her charred legs, hoping to keep them from festering to save her body's strength from the task of fighting infection. With the water, he cleaned her face and arms the best he could, whispering to her unconscious mind to hang on a few hours more. The brutal pace of the last few days and the heavy expenditure of magic exhausted him. After forcing some water down her throat, he lay back on the floor and drifted off to sleep as the heat of the day cooled to evening. The sound of Mirelle groaning in pain wrenched him out of slumber a couple of hours later. It was dark, but he sought her hand and used Min magic to trick her mind into feeling no pain at all. She relaxed and fell back into a peaceful slumber. Standing, he opened a shutter for a view of the dark street below. They hadn't gone far from the square, and the marching of feet and clamour of shouted orders echoed everywhere. Closing the shutter, he lay back down. Throughout the night, the sounds of soldiers passing beneath the windows woke him, though not until morning did he hear them searching the building where they hid. He waited quietly as they poked around the ruin, but no one was observant enough to realize there was a window on the outside that opened to a hidden room. And they left. By midday, his reserves felt strong enough to attempt to heal her, but before he did, he used Triss magic to dissolve her ruined dress and create a modest dress for her in its place. He chose one that a simple country girl might wear to help her blend in when they attempted escape. Delving deep into his reserves, he took her hand and poured the healing energy of Duum magic into Mirelle's flagging body, restoring the flesh, undoing the swelling, and killing the infections already starting to take root. To heal her completely took all the Duum magic he possessed, but her legs were still scarred from the fire. Her eyes fluttered and then popped open, and Jen helped her to sit up, bringing her water.
"Where am I?" she asked, a little frightened. "In Echo Hold," Jen said. "You're safe for the moment."
She drank, her eyes regarding him skeptically in the dim light admitted from the shutters.
"And who are you?"
"I'm called Amos these days, but under a different name. I was one of the few men who enjoyed the favour of the First Mother of Rugoth. And I might add, one of the few, if not the only, to ever kiss her."
The water fell out of Mirelle's hand and onto the floor, and her mouth gaped. She leaned in for a closer look.
"Jen, it can't be. The voice is yours, but the face. Sweet Eldaloth, it is you."
She dove at him and knocked him to the ground, lying on top of him and kissing him, her tears running down her face and onto his. She finally sat up, straddling him and inspecting his face.
"How are you not dead? How dare you not be dead? I held you in my arms and made this horrible blubbering scene crying over you. And where did all your scars go? And a beard?"
Jen laughed.
"It's a long tale," but she leaned down and smothered him in kisses until some thought struck her.
"But if you're alive, does my daughter know?"
"Yes," Jen said.
Mirelle rolled off of him and onto the floor, staring up at the ceiling.
"Curse it all. No, I don't mean that, but you must marry her, Jen. You must love her and make love to her and make her smile. She wants it so desperately. Oh, why couldn't I have conned you into marrying me before all this happened? I worked so hard at being persuasive and seductive and charming. Tell me I was good at it."
"You were unnaturally good at it.
Not good enough, apparently. Damn it all. You must marry her, and quickly. We need to put the world under your leadership as soon as possible."
Jen reached over and took her hand.
"Cathal needs to be under your rule, Mirelle. You were gifted in ways I don't think I ever will be. Remember that I'm a villain to the whole world. I can't marry anyone, much less lead anything. I look different, but not different enough to fool anyone for long."
"Maybe," she said, "but I need all the details of what happened to you and between you and the Shalane. Just leave out the romantic bits, if there are any, so I don't get jealous."
"Are there any? Romantic bits, I mean?"
"Mirelle. But who is a better kisser? Be honest."
Jen chuckled.
"Do you have any idea how bizarre this conversation is? You look very young, but to think I've kissed a mother and her daughter in a romantic way is a little uncomfortable."
"So you have kissed her,"
Mirelle exclaimed, and then frowned and changed her tone.
"So you have kissed her. You are right, this is tending toward the bizarre. Being in love with your future son-in-law is terribly low class. On with the story, then."
Jen related the tale of his awakening and their flight through the Black Forest, the Shalane's illness and sudden recovery, and his brief stay in Blackshire. When he related leaving Blackshire in company with Cadean, her hand went to her mouth as she predicted the truth behind his absence. Jen held her as she cried softly, telling her of Cadean's concern for her and his fight to keep the Elder Fair at bay.
"He bought me the time I needed to get to you," Jen said. He died bravely and was an excellent soldier and a dedicated man. Mirel wiped her eyes. Well, he got what he wanted in the end. Ever since he lost control and tried to take me for his own, he has been searching for a way to die for me. I guess he found it. I will miss him. It will be like turning around and finding your shadow gone. Oh, Jen, this last week has been so dark and comfortless in that cell. I had lost you. I thought I might lose my daughter to an Uyumark horde. I banded words with Mikik and saw his dark heart. By the time they dragged me out of that cell this morning, I was almost glad to die.
She reached out and touched his face.
But now that you are here, and here with power, there is light again in the world.
Jen took her hand.
I still can't see what I can do, although I will fight for any good cause.
I have some ideas, she returned. But how long must we hide, do you think?
We'll just need to wait for the patrols to die down, Jen said. At some point they'll think we've already escaped. I know a few tricks to get us away safely, even if they don't. So if it takes longer than a day or two, we'll risk it.
Ben, would you mind conjuring up a mattress or a pillow? I assume you can do that with Triss magic, she said.
Yes, the plainer the less power is required, so forgive something simple.
Well, it doesn't need to be big, she said. You and I can be cozy for as long as it takes.
He grinned at her.
You're doing it again.
What?
Flirting.
Well, I can't help it, she said. The Shalane doesn't have to know everything that happens here. Thank you for the dress, by the way. Not quite my style, but it will do.
Jen created a thin mattress big enough for them to sit comfortably on. As she sat cross-legged, she noticed the burn scars on her legs and side.
It is a shame, she said, rubbing her hand over the uneven skin. They were quite lovely, I would have you know.
I can restore the skin with Triss magic, he said. You will have your legs back. I will need to see them to do the work required.
She smiled teasingly.
Who is being forward now?
After a day of resting and hiding, Jen decided they should risk leaving, as much for the frustration they both felt over their confinement as the need to keep his relationship with Mirel from barreling headlong into the inappropriate. She clearly found it difficult to bridle her affections. Mirel was ever intoxicating, and she sorely tested his control with her copious affection. Thankfully, the patrols had died down and the city had returned to its natural hum and flow, and he judged it was time to move. By way of disguise, Jen conjured up some drab, dirty peasant attire, and he used Duum magic to lengthen his beard and his hair until he appeared almost wild. Jen stared over at Mirel, who had just finished laughing at his disguise.
The clothes might say peasant woman, Jen said, stroking his beard, but you still look like a beautiful noblewoman wearing a costume. Isn't there something you can do to look more ignorant and unattractive?
Now that is a rare request, she said. I'll let you give me a bad haircut and we can smear some filth on my face. Maybe you can expand the dress and we can stuff something in it to make me look pregnant. Then we can pretend you're some wild beast of a man who just travels into town to father children. Like Shaitan.
Sounds awful.
But it might work, he said. Just promise me that you can use your magic to put me back to normal before we see anyone I know. Do you need to check my body anywhere else for burn scars before we go?
You've got to stop.
I'm serious.
No.
If you find any more, then you can let me know. I'm sorry, Jen, she said. Eyes that had been playful for the last day finally turned melancholy. I'm such a wretched contradiction of emotions that I think I might just tear myself in half. When we leave, it will be time to get to work, and that will help.
I understand.
And I want you to know, but, she interrupted, stepping close, a man who saves an aristocrat's life must be rewarded.
There is no need, he replied, smiling at the memory of their conversation after the attempt on her life on the streets of Mikmir.
Yes, there is, she replied.
And then she kissed him, deeply, with tender emotion and sincere love. Jen could feel his knees buckling.
There, she said, putting her hand on his cheek. Something to remember me by.
Jen swallowed.
Mirel.
Come on, Jen, she ordered. You've cooped me up long enough. I want to see my daughter as soon as I can. We need to have you sitting on the throne of Mikmir with my daughter by your side as soon as we can arrange it.
The people won't accept me.
No, but they will accept the return of Aldredan Mikmir.
You can't be serious.
She smiled one of the devious, plotting smiles that he loved.
I am.
Nick-Kick likes a good ruse, and so do I. We've a long way to go. Hear me out. You might like this little plot of mine.